From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Tuesday, October the 11th, 2016. I'm Philip Grant. Patricia Doxey is reporting in the Daily Freeman that congressional candidates John Faso and Zephyr Teachout have announced they will debate on October the 27th at Congregational Emmanuel in Kingston. Republican Faso and Democrat Teachout are competing to fill the 19th congressional district seat currently held by Republican Chris Gibson. The debate will be the second time this month that the two have squared off in Ulster County and will be their third debate in the region. Faso has painted Teachout as a carpetbagger and a radical professor beholden to New York City. Teachout has characterized Faso as a politician turned lobbyist controlled by big money donors. The candidates will also debate on Thursday, October the 13th on WMHT-TV and on October the 24th. That debate will air on Time Warner Cable News. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Jeanette Wolfberg is reporting in the Columbia paper that Bard College Early College is up and running at 11 Warren Street in Hudson. The program is sharing space with three other educational and training programs provided by the Berkshire Farm Center and Services for Youth in Canaan in the former Corrick building, now owned by Galvin Foundation. The Bard program includes courses that allow students to earn high school and college credit simultaneously. Michael Sadowski, the program director, said the philosophy is that, and I quote, some students are ready for college work during high school, end quote. Hudson City School District officials said recruitment for the program focused on students who could be among the first in their family to graduate from college. Taking college courses gives them confidence that they can handle college, Sadowski said. This year, the program has 15 seniors from Hudson and Germantown High Schools. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. Scott Waldman is reporting at Politico New York that there is still no state or federal plans to conduct expansive outreach in the city of Newburgh to encourage residents to get their blood levels checked and determine the level of health risk after years of drinking toxic chemicals. Public health experts say many Newburgh residents are probably unaware of the issue and need to be alerted to the fact that they have in their bloodstream a dangerous level of chemical linked to cancer and other serious health problems. The state's outreach so far includes participating in listening sessions with local officials, mailing information on exposure to PFOS to local physicians, participating in two public forums in Newburgh, and weekly calls with city officials, a Department of Health spokesman said. The outreach does not include a broader education campaign to fully inform city residents about the problem. In a city of 30,000, only 300 people have signed up for blood monitoring, according to the state. In May, Newburgh's main water source tested at twice the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's recommended safety limit for the chemical PFOS. The state paid for the installation of a filter on the city water supply and switched the municipal supply to an alternate source months ago. Nearby Stewart Air National Guard Base was declared a Superfund site by the State Department of Environmental Conservation because it is the likely source of the pollution. After months of pressure, the Cuomo administration recently released an announcement about the beginning of a blood testing program in Newburgh. If the number of people tested become too significant, the administration will call on the federal government for help, state officials say. Newburgh City Manager Michael Ciaravino said this level of response is far from the type of outreach necessary to help residents address the health challenges they face. Ciaravino wants widespread blood testing made available in addition to campaign to let people know the importance of checking their blood levels. You can read that full story at Politico New York. Greg Hudson is reporting in the Daily Mail that Greene County officials last week unveiled their $52 million jail proposal during a meeting held at Catskill High School. If constructed, the new facility would be the largest capital project in the county's history. The new county jail would be located on Plank Road off Route 9W in Coxsackie on a parcel adjacent to the Greene Correctional Facility, a medium security state prison. The 50-acre plot was deeded to the county by the state of New York. County Administrator Sean Groden said the project would be financed with a 30-year municipal bond, which translates into a debt service obligation of approximately $2.7 million per year. Gordon said with a new jail, the county would realize a savings of nearly $1 million a year, the amount which is currently paid to neighboring counties for boarding out people from Greene County. The new facility would consist of four housing pods, three for men and one for women, and each pod would house up to four dozen people. All aspects of daily life would be accommodated in the pods, eliminating the need to transport the incarcerated for meals or educational program. Gordon said, and I quote, "Pod design essentially eliminates the need for a prisoner to be moved throughout the jail. He'll have his room, his meals, everything we provide will be within the pod," end quote. Groden said if the conceptual design is approved, ground could be broken by the fall of 2017 and construction would take 18 months to 2 years for completion. He said, and I quote, "It's a generational decision. If we go through with this and build this new jail facility, we won't have to repeat this decision for at least 50 to 75 years," end quote. The existing Greene County Jail, located in the village of Catskill, is the oldest county lockup in the state. It has 56 beds, but only 48 are usable. Lawmakers appointed the Greene County Jail Task Force in 2014 to evaluate jail conditions, and its recommendations were presented to the full legislature last year. A public hearing on the jail proposal will be held at 6:20 p.m. on Wednesday, October the 19th, in the County Office Building in Catskill. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. Debbie Mayer is reporting in the Columbia paper that Germantown Supervisor Joel Gregg will present the town's preliminary 2017 budget at the first of two public workshops on Tuesday, October the 11th. The board has already reviewed department requests and made a plan for how to move forward. The town's tax cap this year is 0.6%, well below the state mandated 2% ceiling. Gregg told the paper, and I quote, "I don't have the actual dollar calculation from the state yet, but as you can see, it means virtually no tax increase," end quote. The second workshop will be held October the 18th, and the public hearing is scheduled for Tuesday, October the 25th, immediately before the regular town board meeting. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. Brian Herbert is reporting in the Daily Freeman that the Woodstock Film Festival will take place this week, offering more than 120 films. The annual event runs from October the 13th through Sunday, October the 16th, this year at venues in Woodstock, Rhinebeck, Kingston, Saugerties, and Rosendale. Myra Blonstein, the festival's executive director and co-founder, said, and I quote, "We have to give a reflective picture of where filmmaking is," end quote. In its 17th year, the festival seeks to highlight the wide range of subjects and styles used by a very diverse range of the independent film world. Blonstein said, and I quote, "You'll find very little Hollywood here," end quote. That being said, actor Alec Baldwin will be in town Thursday night for the world premiere of Blind, the story of Bill Oakland, a novelist who loses his wife and his sight in a car accident. Blonstein said, and I quote, "I'm thrilled he's coming, but I'm also thrilled young filmmakers from China are coming," end quote. The festival lineup includes a mixture of films shot all over the world and across the U.S., including the Hudson Valley. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting areas of frost before 9 a.m. Otherwise, it will be sunny with a high near 65 degrees. For Tuesday night, it will be partly cloudy with a low around 38. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 68 degrees. Wednesday night, patchy fog after 5 a.m. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a low around 47. And on Thursday, a chance of showers, mainly after 2 p.m., patchy fog before 8 a.m., otherwise partly sunny with a high near 69 degrees. Thursday night, a chance of showers before 8 p.m., partly cloudy with a low around 43. Sunrise today was at 7:05 a.m., and the sun will set at 6:18 p.m., providing us with 11 hours and 13 minutes of daylight, 2 minutes less than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Tuesday, the 11th day of October 2016. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. and a pleasant tomorrow.